podcast is powered by Lindsay and Associates.
And C.R. Crawford Construction, our latest partner, has brought on our guest today to Ben's apartment, Coach Sam Pittman. Coach, welcome to the show.
Yeah, man, it's good to be here. I hadn't been here in a while.
Ben's apartment's an unbelievable place, man. Unbelievable place.
What a bad spot.
Yeah, we love it here. Well, Coach, let's get into it. First of all, you had to play injured last year with your hip. How's your hip? And talk to the audience, because I've had some hip issues a little bit in coaching and being out at practice. And I'll be honest with you, you being on the sideline and being able to dodge people with a bad hip, you're a great athlete being able to do that.
Well, I've been known for that my whole life. But I think it's the education part. In other words, the hip, I think if somebody gets hurt, they just don't know when they can be back, you know, and that was my problem. My hip did not hurt. It went out. And so that was at the end of June. Well, then I didn't really get it looked at. Felt like a sciatic, you know, something, my back didn't hurt, but I thought, you know, my wife has had the pain through the groin and the back and of the leg and in the hip. Mine just went out. It wasn't, man, it's sore. It just, boom, one day. And so then we had SEC media coming up, and I said, well, I can, you know, wait. I get it checked. They say you need a new hip. Well, then a new hip to me sounded like you're not going to get it fixed. You know, you get it fixed, and you're going to miss this part of practice, this. They said we can medicate it, and it'll be fine and all that. And really that they lied to me, you know. And so it just got sore, worse. But I will say this, that you can, with a total hip replacement, I think they have to go in the front now. I'm a believer that they go in the front, not the back or the side. But if they go in the front, you know, I had my hip done on a Tuesday, and Wednesday by noon, I was at work. Now, it was National Signing Day, so I called all the kids on Tuesday to make sure we didn't have any surprises. We did. Madden was one of them, but it was for the good. And then I was back at work by noon that day because of the portal coming open. I had to talk to several different kids. I was on the walker. The key is there's really no rehab for a hip. In other words, they want you to walk. And once you can walk, that is your rehab. So I was at work the next day and continued to do that. But I'm going to say the bowl game was probably three and a half weeks after the surgery. And I had just started using a cane about four days before that. So my biggest concern was getting the hell out of the way, you know, with somebody. I've never said get back so many times. What a fun game, though. But I just didn't know how long I could stand up. And certainly at the end of the game, my coach was gracious enough to run across the field to shake my hand. And then I looked for the nearest warm bench to sit on while they were, you know, doing the celebrations and all that. But I'll say this, it's not worth the 5 months of, because you can't ever get off a hip.
Yeah.
You can't sleep off of it. You can't sit off of it. You can't walk off of it. It's different than even when I had my knee totally redone. It's just more, there's more pain involved. But the surgery, after surgery, piece of cake, and man, it feels great now. And so thank you for asking.
Well, I was worried about you because I've had five knee surgeries, and being on the sideline, I've been knocked out a few times, and you got to be a good athlete there. You know what I mean?
I can promise you I had extra people around me at that bowl game.
I get it. Well, let's get in. You talked about the bowl game. Is, you know, I thought you guys as a staff and players and as a group got them at the highest level. You know, it's a weird time, you know, people getting in the portal and this and that. Talk to our audience how important in that experience, guys like Kobe Brannon and those guys that got that experience, extra practices, and then they've got game experience and coming back. How huge is that?
Well, A, to have a winning season.
Yeah.
You know, and won our third bowl in a row. That was big for the program.
Yeah.
Big for the kids. What I will say is, and I was talking to Brait a little bit earlier about this, you know, there's more opt-out. The world of football is changing, and I fought it for a while, you know, with NIL. And obviously when we first started, we didn't have the finances that some other folks did. And but I could have done a better job with that as well. But the bowl game, we took the guys out there that wanted to have Arkansas on the front of that jersey and wanted to play for it. And you look at Kobe Branham and Brooks Edmondson. Brooks had played one snap. It was a good snap against Tennessee. Did a good job. They blitzed him, you know, when he came in there, and he did a nice job on the nose trying to cross face him. Kobe Branham, I'll never forget, we were at practice, and I said, "Hey, man, you're going to be great," you know, pumping him up and this, that, and other. And he said, "Coach, I haven't played since I played Fort Smith Southside." And I said, "Well, hell, you're getting ready to play in front of 5 million people, so get ready." And but he was the second highest grading old lineman we had. Sometimes kids just need opportunities.
Yeah.
And I'm more than happy to people say, "Well, you should have played him a long time ago." Okay. Well, I'm getting ready to play him for three more years, you know, or four. He was able to redshirt. So but that group of guys after the game, Josh Street, and I'm sure he won't mind, but there were so many guys that were emotional, crying, you know, as their last game of football. They won. You know, I've been criticized at times for a lot of things, you know, it's part of the job. One of them was buying bowl rings for tier two bowls. And to me, if you win a bowl, I tell you what, guarantee Bray's got his.
He does.
And old Coach Pittman got mine too. But I'll never forget, Dietrich Wise came and talked to us. He had donated some money for a good cause here on campus. And he was there, his father was there, his mother was there. And so they came in to visit a little bit. And I look over, and I think Dietrich has been on Super Bowl winning teams, if I'm correct. And I look over, and his daddy's got the 2013, 2014, 2015 Liberty Bowl ring. His dad's got it on. And I said, "Why do you?" He said, "Well, because my son gave the ring to me, and it was a valuable ring to him. He gave it to me. I wear it all the time." And I'm like, if we win, that's got to be tier two. It can't be any bowl. It's got to be a tier two bowl or bigger. If we win, they're going to get it. After the game, we sat in there and with Hunter, and we sat there, and he said, "You know, Coach, my oldest son, Ryan, second son, third son, now Brooks, said every one of them's got a bowl ring from the University of Arkansas. I don't care if it's a big deal to everybody out there. As long as it's a big deal to the kids that played the game, they're going to get a bowl ring." And I like them too. You know, you get to keep them. But I thought our coaches did a great job of getting our kids prepared for that game. And our kids played hard.
Oh,
they played hard, and they played excited. And that was a good team that we played, a real good team. They had beaten both teams that were in the Big 12 championship game with Iowa State and Arizona State. They had beaten both of those teams. So we knew that they had a really good football team. But we had kids that wanted to play for the Hogs, and that, as Bray knows, and that's what he's still living it. And it's a big, big deal. It's very unique. If you're not from here, you don't understand it. You just don't understand it. But if you are, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You could see the excitement and the kids, and people don't understand. You know, you see these bowl games, and, you know, guys opt out. I mean, that's just the way it works. And you know, and it's the effort and things like that. But that's credit to your staff and those kids that, I mean, played extremely hard and played really well.
Yeah, and part of that, like you mentioned, is your coach getting those kids, you know, up and rolling for that bowl game. And you're keeping a lot of those coaches for next year. I've done a great job with that. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, I think this too, Bray, that whatever finality of the season there is, in other words, if you're not bowl eligible and you win the game and you're still not bowl eligible, that's not the goal, guys. The goal is to go to college playoffs and go as far as we possibly can. But reality sets in at some point. So we've got 5 wins. We've got to win the next game to get bowl eligible. Or we're bowl eligible. What's the last game? Well, it's the bowl. The finality of the season is a big deal that you win to move on to spring ball. Big deal. Big deal to me. Big deal to our staff. And so that's why it is. You're laid out at the end of the season. You're laid out. This is your destination. This is what you earned, or this is what you didn't earn. This is where it is. Once you deal with that, you want to win. That's just how it is. You want to win. And as Bray can tell you, or anybody that's ever played in a bowl game, winning a bowl game is special. I don't care the name of the bowl. It's special. When I was at Georgia, we went out and we won the Rose Bowl. It was awesome. Didn't feel any different than when we won the Liberty Bowl a couple of times and the Outback Bowl when we won it. Big deal. Or when we were here and we won the Texas Bowl when we went down and beat Texas. Going back to the staff, I'm really, really happy that I was able to keep guys. As we sit here, you want them to be able to move up. That's part of, you know, I did it.
Yeah.
We kept everybody except for Darren Wilson. And Darren was really, really conflicted with what to do. He wanted to be a defensive coordinator. He had had an opportunity a year before, and I don't want to say I talked him out of it. I talked to him. He decided not to take that job. I thought he was the word can't be better than that, you know what I mean, because kids are kids.
Yeah.
But I thought that he could go at a higher level. And then Georgia State, my good friend Dell McGee is the head coach there, who we coached together at Georgia. And Dell had called me about him, and I couldn't say anything but wonderful things, because he is and was for us great. I knew I was going to lose a good recruiter, a good man, and a good secondary coach. But at the same time, he wanted that opportunity, and so he was able to go coordinate at a Division I-A school, you know, at Georgia State. So that's the only one. And, you know, behind the scenes, you obviously have different guys with opportunities, and then, you know, you try to keep them if you want to, and if not, you go, you know, thank you for your time. But it's a big deal, especially, you know, my biggest fear was coordinators. You lose coordinators and you're going,
yeah,
man, I know I can find some, like we found Bryles, like found Barry Odom, you know what I mean? Great coaches. Doing it, Barry Odom, you know, well, Bryles too, they're both just kicking butt, doing great, you know. Then I get lucky with Travis Williams, you know, and then I get extremely lucky with Bobby. It's not just, you know, a lot of times guys will say, boy, you don't have an ego, blah, 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 whatever it is to get Bobby. I want to win. And I don't, you know, the longer you're at a place, the least credit you get for winning. I mean, it's just, that's just how it is. You beat Tennessee and you beat the number 4 team. You should have won every game if, you know, before that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so it, those times have passed. I'm not in it for anybody to pat me on the back or tell me I'm doing a good job or any. I'm certainly not in it for them to cuss me out either. But I want to win. And I like to look at it as Bobby was willing to come back more than I was willing to hire him, because he's been a really good, or both of them, Travis and Bobby, just been outstanding men to work with. But I like to look at it the other way. Bobby's willing to come back, not I was willing to hire him back.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's stick with that defense staff. T. Will, it seemed like last year, and you know, he don't get the big headlines, things like that. That whole staff, they had protections nailed. They had run blitzes and just big calls at big times during the season. And it looks like that staff is gelled together, and you've had them, you know, longer you have them from 1 year to the second year. Now he's going to third year.
Yeah.
What's your expectation? Talk about that huge staff, because I thought they did a phenomenal job.
They did. And, you know, we still have maybe a couple of players in the portal that we might want to get in April. That's what spring ball's for. Yeah. We'll at least have time to figure that out. But I think Travis, you know, his coordinating himself in the SEC, he did a really good job his first year.
Oh, yeah.
Then last year, in my opinion, a much better job. He was much more comfortable. He was comfortable in his own skin and his own calling, you know, how he wanted to affect the game. He took more chances. You know, we still continually we got to be able to play man coverage. Travis wants to come at you now,
yeah.
But he also doesn't want to give up a big play, nor do I. Yeah. But I just think him and his camaraderie between him and the defensive staff, and of course he's also a wonderful team guy. And you know, as you change coordinators, at times you change some things about practice. And we did when he came in, and we certainly have when Bobby came in. And they have to understand each other. They have to understand that we're trying to win, and Travis is wonderful about that.
It just seemed like he was just nailing things, and you could see Deke and them, you know, a whole plan together, and you can it's not blinded. Everybody can see it and everything.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of the ball, you know, you've got Petrino running the thing, and you got Mateos, who's a GA there when I played and played for you. And so for me, it's cool to see, you know, the head coach that I originally came to Arkansas to play for. Yeah, you're running the show, and then Mateos is in there as well. It's cool to watch you guys work. And what's that dynamic like?
Well, Eric, you know, Bobby believed me whenever I wanted to hire Eric, you know, Bobby, I wanted him to have say so of some guys that he hired, you know, that he wanted to hire, mm-hmm. And they've all been really good coaches. I believe you should do that, you know, guys that understand you and guys that understand the offensive philosophy that's been with you before. I think if you hire a coordinator, you ought to let him bring at least one of his guys in. And not for coming into my office and backstabbing and this, you know, none of that stuff. It's for comfortability and other ways to teach guys how they learned. But Eric has been – Eric, you know Eric. I do have a story for you. The day that I told Coach – that I was going to go to Georgia mm-hmm. was the day, our first day of bowl practice. And I'm going to make some people mad, but it is what it is. I'm watching tape on Kansas State. Mm-hmm. That's who y'all played, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it, and I know I'm going to Georgia, but I also know I'm going to practice. And I'm watching tape on Kansas State, and you know, we had played everybody under the sun, you know, and I'm going, we're going to kill these guys, you know what I mean? And I'm going, I'm going to lose my bowl bonus and an opportunity, because I knew I felt like we'd just smash them around, which y'all did. I think Alex Collins was running lead draw and power, and Collins was and I don't know who else. It wasn't Jay Will at the time. I think it might have been was Raleigh hurt?
I think he was hurt.
I know Alex, bless his heart. He was steamrolling them boys. And I remember Skipper gave up a sack, and I was so mad. I was like, what the hell's going on? You know, I think I was madder than that than than the money I lost in the bowl. It's close.
Yeah, it's tough one.
But Eric was the coach. Is my point. Eric coached through that and had y'all ready to go. But I'll be honest with you, there could have been no coach out there, and y'all would have. I'm talking about that group of kids. Oh, yeah. That was a badass group of kids. Now you can. You know, I always thought, too, Bray, I'm all over the place a little bit. Yeah. But I thought we had the best offensive line in America. I did. And nobody could tell me different. Now, I'm partial to y'all. But results are results. We led the league in fewest sacks all 3 years. But the bottom line is what made me excited. Well, there's so many things. About coming back to Arkansas was my thought of if we could have the best offensive line in the country at Arkansas, why can't you have the best quarterback, the best tight end, the best wide receiver? Because if you have one position that's the best in the country, which we were, we didn't win the Joe Moore because we won 8 games. If we'd have won more than 8 games, somebody who won the Joe Moore won 11. You understand what I'm saying. Just like a lot of awards are true, a lot of them's political. But I felt like if we could have the best position group at one spot, we can have it at all spots. Now, the portal's changed that a little bit because of the development of sometimes you don't have the kids long enough to develop them. But that was one of the most exciting things about coming back to Arkansas, because I thought – you needed a coach that believed that Arkansas was as good as what we believe that it can be. We haven't got there yet. But the day that I don't think I'm the right coach for the job, I'll give it to somebody else. But I'm not close to that. I think you have to have passion about where you're at. Not a stepping stone, not a retirement home. You have to have passion about the damn Arkansas Razorbacks. And I think that's what Eric Mateus has. If you look at Eric Mateus, he took a pay cut to come here. But he wanted, I mean, there was no, hey, would you like, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't even know the salary. You know, now he asked it like a smart man should. But he's got a way about him. You know about it. He's got a way about him that he can get you to play. But he also really shows you that he cares about you. I think that's maybe his biggest quality, that people will play hard for him or with him, however you want to say it, because of the way that he treats them, the way he talks to them, the way he motivates them. It's a very unique quality. A lot of guys have it. A lot of guys don't. But he's got it. And you know, because you played when he coached you. But he was a coach. You know, when I was here, he was coaching half of them. I mean, he was a coach. And he was a really good recruiter. So he was a no-brainer hire. And we're very, very honored and glad that he's here.
Yeah, he's and I think what's great about Coach Mateus is you have all those qualities that you mentioned, but also the behind the scenes of the work and the hours that he puts in. You see that, you know, playing for him as a GA, and that sucker, you know, lived at the office and was up there 24/7, had things prepared in a way that, and I've been around a lot of coaches, and the way he does things is kind of a different level.
Yeah, it is, and most guys like that, whether it be in any business, are very prideful people. And that's what, I guess in a nutshell, that's what he is. He's one of those guys that wants the head coach, whomever he's working for, his offensive lineman, for them to think that he's the best in the country. And to be honest with you, as an assistant, I was almost possessed with that. I wanted my players and I wanted my head coach, whoever that may be, to think I was the best coach he had on the staff, and I didn't want it to be close. Now, I'm not saying I ever was that, but I was
Coach, you're pretty good.
I was very prideful that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, as a head coach, I want the team to think that, and I want the public to too. You can't win the public one. You just can't. I mean, there's too many opinions out there, so you can't win them all. So I've kind of that part of it, I've kind of let go to the wayside a little bit. But the team is the one that I want the team. And I'm gonna tell you something. There's a lot of in our business. It doesn't matter who you are. Kansas City Chiefs. They lose the Super Bowl and the world's falling apart. There's so many more positive people, so many more good people than the few that have all the answers that may not have any of the answers.
Exactly.
Y'all get them too on a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, they do. Right. We'll pick against the high school team. We get texts. They got to get upset about it, man. I've lost some friends over this deal.
All I know, if you're going to pick, you got to pick somebody.
That's why they got a scoreboard. I mean, that's up like, there, coach. You know,
I asked the governor, I said, I don't know how you do it because she's a Republican. Yeah. So
half
of them can't stand her before it ever starts. I'm like, at least that wasn't the way with me. I earned the people who don't like me, you know. But I don't know how you do that political world, man. That'd be hard.
Well, you do a great job because you always bring up kids in the team.
Yeah.
And that's what you're there for. At the end of the day of it is, you know, all the external stuff. And I know there's pressure and everybody, you know, there's a lot, millions of dollars and all that deal. But at the end of the day, it is those kids, and you talk about that all the time. It's the most important thing, and I appreciate that as a coach, is that's y'all's focus, you know. And a lot of places, it's not like that, you know.
Well, I think you deal with – I think titles sometimes of your door, I think sometimes that affects who the man inside is. And – ego people, they think of themselves. Ones that don't, they think of everybody else. And we're in this to make these kids' dreams come true. That's what we're trying to do. And maybe their dream doesn't come today, but be patient. You know, I was a high school coach for 5 years. I never dreamt of being the head coach at Arkansas. It happened somehow. But somebody believed in me, somebody helped me, and somebody steered me in a different direction, whatever it was. That's what we're here for. And I know that sounds rosy and all that. It's the damn truth at Arkansas. That's what we're here for.
And that's the whole deal.
And I guess a big part of that, too, is the support system for these guys off the field. And now with the NIL, now with the transfer portal, what are some of the things that y'all are able to do off the field for these guys? And you know, you'd like to have them for 4 years and know you'd have them for the entire time. Well, what are some of those things?
Let's look at grown man. You before you were looking at young man. Mm-hmm. Let's look at grown man responsibilities. Mm-hmm. That's where they're at. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about, And look, guys, we can say whatever we want. If you got more money, you're going to have a nicer place to live. You're going to have a nicer car. You are. I mean,
it's life.
That's, you know, you're not, if you can not break down on the side of the road, you're going to choose not to. So now you look at it simply as you got grown man responsibilities. In other words, you've got taxes, you've got savings plans. You didn't talk to your kids about that a whole – you didn't talk to taxes at all. Saving, you know, you might have could have saved some of your cost of attendance, but not much, you know. So now you've got that education piece of it. You've got agent – you've got to educate them on agents. Certainly now anybody in the world can be an agent. Mm-hmm. So you've got to educate them there. With money, you know, sometimes now families are starting faster. Then you've got to educate them in those things. So really everything that we learned, we kind of learned on the go. Mm-hmm. You know, got a little bit of money, so got this. I want to buy this. How do I get a loan? How do I get a credit card? How do I keep my credit? Things that you used to not really too concerned. How do I buy a regular vehicle instead of a 400 underneath the engine? Well, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
They're all going to buy a car that can move. Well, they don't buy the car that can move and not move it. So now you've got to educate on the point system, on all these different things, on speeding and what they can do. They can take you to jail, excess over this. Just so many more education things than what we used to. You know, it was about basics of life, how to treat women. It still is that way, but how to treat women. You know, DWI, DUI, marijuana, all those different things that were laws that you were teaching young men how to become grown men. Now it's you're teaching grown men. That's what you're doing because they've got money.
But stay on NIL a little bit and kind of go in the football end of it.
Yeah.
I thought you did a great job. I don't remember what press conference, and you got up and were talking about it. And I've actually talked to Mike Lombardi, who's the GM now out at Belichick out there at North Carolina. And it sounded like to me, and if I'm wrong, tell me, basically just y'all are kind of doing like the NFL. The left tackle is going to get paid more than the right guard. You know, your quarterback's going to get paid. And if in the part, going to the audience, because if you go out and overpay, you might not get that backup corner who you're really going to need week 5 or 6. So is it a collective deal where, say, somebody comes in and offers more, you got to let them go, but you got to be able to pinpoint the next guy. Is that what you're doing by position?
Thank you.
And then about the staffs, you know, talking to them and talking to other guys. You know, I remember talking to you guys and other college coaches in the SEC about, you know, when the NIL first started, you know, the assistant coaches would go and check the portal. You might have a GA. And now it's full portal staff is checking every day and full high school staff. What's that look in the building and what are the changes?
Well, we had to get some more people, and currently we're trying to add another. But you're right on what you said. You're right on. You got X amount of dollars budgeted. Here's what I will say: the right tackle, the right guard, doesn't think he's less valued than the left tackle.
Yeah,
that's the problem. You know that that's the problem. The nose guard, he thinks he's the most valuable guy on the team, more so than the quarterback.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So, well, I made first team all SEC. I should be the highest paid player on the team. Well, the kids know what everybody made. You always say, hey, man, it's your own business. But
people talk.
Learned a long time ago, you can say as a player, you can say, hey, don't say anything, but this is, you know, how I feel or whatever. And it's spread like wildfire. Yeah. Well, I would have too when I was a player. You know what I mean? I can't ask a guy. I learned this a long time ago. The kids respect you. They're a lot closer to the guys in that locker room than they'll ever be to you. Yeah. Now, it's a different feeling. It's a respect. It's a different feeling. But they're going to talk to those kids in that locker room a lot faster than they're going to talk to you. So that's a big part of the problem with it. So what ends up happening, you have a budget that you're going, okay, here's my budget, and here's how much I'd like to replace, or here's how much I'd like to keep in the O-line room. Here's the tight end room. So then let's say you need three guys. Let's use tight end, for example. You need three guys, and you can't give it to one. Mm-hmm. You're done.
Yeah.
And so you've got to – the problem is, let's say somebody comes in, and I'm not talking specifics here, but let's say someone comes in and they say, hey, I got to have this. Well, if he comes in and says he's got to have this, he's got it.
Yeah.
Somebody's already told him. Here's how it works, okay? I'm representing Bray, okay? And he doesn't even know it, but I'm representing him. Now, listen, Bray's paying me. He's paying me anywhere from Lord. Bray's smart, so he ain't gonna pay somebody 20%. Yeah. You know, you pay 3% in the NFL, yeah, and the kids now are paying anywhere from 10 to 20%.
What's the deal on that?
No, they just don't know. Yeah, we've got to educate them. Yeah. You know, hey, tell them you'll give them 3% if they don't want it. Hit the road. Mm-hmm. You know, but what happens? Here's what happens. The agent calls. So I'm representing Bray. I call LSU, say, hey, you got, what do you think of Bray Cook? You know, oh, man, we need him. You know, well, how much, what do you think of him? Well, let's say Bray's making $20 for Arkansas.
That's about right.
Yeah. And that was a little overworked. No. That was a little over what you really did make. But let's say he's making $20. And I'm his agent. LSU give him $30. I get on the phone to A&M. They say, well, I can give him $25. Well, you can't get him. Okay, I'll give him $40. Okay, you're thinking about it. I'll help you. Call Texas. I'll give him $45. Before you know it, not only is Bray mad at me because you underpaid me last year. You underpaid me. I made $20 and I can make 60. Put it in hundreds of thousands. I made 200,000. I can make 600,000. They already know it when they walk into your room. The agents already told them, I got 600,000 from whomever. I got it. Not only now that puts me in a terrible situation, but they think that we underpaid them. Now they come in mad. Where they were happy when they got the money, now they're coming in mad. And it's not a let's sit down. For the most part, it's not a let's sit down and let's talk about it. It's I was underpaid. I love you. I loved it here at Arkansas, but I'm going in the portal. And that's just how it is. And that's how it works at a lot of different places. And so at that point, my point being is you're going to pay what you can pay, but at some point there is a limit of what you can pay one guy because you're going, well, if you leave, I can replace you with three. And then your feeling of value has to be, and we've done really good in the portal, and we did this year too. Yeah. But you've got to be willing to take the heat that all hell's breaking loose and you lost this guy. And it doesn't matter whether a guy was a really good player or he was a player from the state of Arkansas or whatever. It's going to be an uproar. And then you look at his stats and he had one catch for whatever. He didn't play, but he played on special teams. The state, the negative people are going to come out and go, oh, my God, what's wrong? You know, all this. And I'm going, we lost a guy that caught a ball in the first game of the season, you know. And nobody knows that, you know, he might have come in and wanted an ungodly amount of money. And I'm going, bro, if we did that, we'd need a $45 million budget, you know. And it's not Monopoly money. And collectives are from those folks that went out, worked, and paid to the collective. It's not Monopoly, and I'm not about to spend it freely. I'm going to be educated on it because it's not my money. And so there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into it, and there still are those kids now that will sit down and say, Coach, I know this is astronomical amount of money. What can you do? Those type kids, they'll stay for us and they'll play hard for. And we can match things too. It's not like we don't have money. But it becomes you have to fill a team. And you have so much finances to fill up your team. So you always got to have a little money in the, you know, in your secret pocket, like, you know, when you get married, you got to always have something somewhere, $100 hid in the back of the wallet, you know, or something. And so you always got to have a little bit of that. But it's I don't think anybody's really figured it out without just saying, all right, I'm going to go in the collective and just go beg somebody to give me some more money. Yeah. Because it's not 100% that the most money wins, but it's a high percentage.
And that's such a huge new area of your job responsibility.
Yeah, it's
and
horrible. Things that, yeah. I mean, I don't mean it like that because people, it's a lot of yeah. added
yeah.
on your plate, mm-hmm. a lot. And then you add, now I'm teaching grown man stuff, not young man, grown man stuff now. We got guys wanting to buy homes. So how do I get a loan? Well, you got to have X amount of down. You got to have this kind of credit. You know, how do I check my credit? You know, so all this has added on to top of what I felt was a very difficult job in its own right. And we were sitting there at 420, 2 years, we're 9-4. That was ball coaching. That was no NIL. There was nothing. That was 4-20 to 9-4.
Yeah.
Winning the Outback Bowl, all that kind of stuff. NIL came. And I didn't embrace it as much as I needed to. You're right, and so what happens is you got to hire more people.
Yeah, that's.
I know one thing: if you don't have help in it, it will wear you completely mm-hmm. out now because there's so much stress on. The job's stressful as it is, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
The job's stressful as it is, and then you add on to, well, in December we may lose 15 guys. And then in April, you imagine in December and you're having Christmas Day, you're trying to, now you're at a bowl or whatever, and you're trying to have Christmas with your family and you get a call and you just lost your quarterback and your tight end. Merry freaking Christmas.
Yeah, that's some good stuff right there, man.
Wild.
Yeah. Wild. The presents don't look as big underneath the tree.
Hey, man, how about somebody realizing, let's see, can we close the portal down before Christmas? Yeah. You know, sure. Can't do it.
Well, what is that staff look like? I mean, are you able to go out and is there a department that really focuses on that? Or I guess how does that dynamic work with?
Yeah, we have. We have a group of people responsible for the offensive portal, mm-hmm. group of people responsible for the defensive portal, a group of people that are responsible for high school recruiting, mm-hmm. and we got one guy that runs all of that.
Yeah.
Here's your problem. Here's your most difficult deal. The portal opens. I think the day the portal opened, am I right that 4,000 or 2,500 or 4,000 mm-hmm. kids went in the portal? So they're in the portal. That means they got in the portal. Most of them don't get in the portal going, I got no place to go. You know, some do, and it's unfortunate. But so they get in the portal. You know that they're going to visit. You better get them in there. So now you've got 400 kids to watch, 300 kids, or whatever the number is, 150 once they get it cut down. I'm not going to take a guy out of the portal if I haven't seen him play. And I'm most of the time not going to take a high school kid that did not play in college. I got to see him play. I'm not trying to develop a portal kid. I'm trying to play him. And so you just think of that, Bray, and then you got four portal guys on campus and you're watching 100 guys on tape trying to get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're trying to rank them. Now, you got this group of folks that have them ranked for you, but I'm not there yet. I'm not just going to say, okay, I'll take your ranking. No, hell no. I'm the head coach. My job's on the line. More importantly, the success of the team is on the line. And but I don't know how, when we hired this new guy, I think I'll have another set of eyes on things that, and then once I once I trust him, it's sort of like a GM. If you get that trust, then you kind of go, okay, where do we want to go? I'm just too damn old to give it up to somebody. It's about, look, there's nothing better than when we beat Ole Miss my first year and I'm walking, it's COVID, and people in the stands are crying. I want that for people. So if I'm going to make the decision, I'm the head coach, I ought to make the decision. So I'm never going to give that part of it up, but I do, you know, you need more help. And so that's where we're going with a new hire.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. Now, you bring him in. You better give him a physical.
Sure. Yeah.
What happens? You got, you know what I mean? All right. You better call and talk to somebody about him. Well, who are you going to call? The high school coach, probably. You ain't calling the school. He just went in a portal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now some do. I have a few guys call me about our guys, but you're not, that answer is not probably going to be that good, you know? So I'm talking about when you call somebody. All these things, and you got to make a decision. Here's the deal. You figure it out. You want him first or you want him last? Well, if you get him first, he better sign. Because if he gets off campus, what'd you give him? You gave him the number. He knows the number.
Sure. Oh, man.
Yeah. So when he travels, goes to Michigan, they'll say, what's the number? Well, some will tell you exactly what the number is. Some will say the number plus, you know. Mm-hmm. And if he gets off of that campus, somebody else is going to have to pay him more than that, if that makes sense. So if you're the first, you better get him. If you're the last, you understand at least reasonably what the number is, mm-hmm. you know, because let's face the facts. Most of them aren't getting a portal unless it's about a number.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny because you talk about the NFL, about, you know, different positions setting the market.
Yeah.
You always hear that. You know, they're setting the market. And I don't know if the market's set. It's set over here. It's set over there. And the structure of it,
I think you have to watch out about some of these publications about what they're saying kids are making, too.
Yeah.
I think it's exaggerated. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been some kids come in and I'm going, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I think some of these numbers are certainly exaggerated. I mean, I don't think, you know, I read an article or something. I just don't think Texas has $8 million in their quarterback room. You know, I don't, maybe they do. I don't see how that's feasible. Because, again, it's real. The money's real now, and I got to go get it somewhere. And so you got to watch that a little bit, I think, as well.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, I think back on my recruiting, and I remember Coach Horton, you know, coming to my house with my family there and us having dinner and sitting there and just talking and doing the whole home visit thing and coming up here and you know, sitting down with coaches with the family. Is that still and Coach Orgeron mentioned this? It's not about sending the cards to your mama and to your family like it used to be. Now it's about the number, which you mentioned a little bit. Is there still that part of it where it's the old college football feel of truly recruiting, or is it about
of recruiting the family?
Yeah.
No. Matter of fact, the system right now isn't really built to go into families' homes much anymore. You find so much more about a guy if you walk into his house. And, you know, whether we want to admit it or not, we don't recruit just you. You recruit your family. I mean, that's just how it is. And to me, I always like going into homes because I found out what makes somebody tick. You know, you could have a really loving mother, which might be kind of soft, and you're, and the dad part of it is a hell raiser. You know what I mean? So you're trying to figure out which one of these two folks are making this kid tick. They're totally different. You know what I mean? And but I always enjoyed that part. And then I always appreciated if somebody prepared a meal and you sat down and showing them the respect of sitting down and having a meal with people. I think that's a big deal. And but I miss that a little bit because, you know, with December being dead now, you're not going off campus. They're coming to see you. Now, you can get a fill of that on an official visit, but not like you can when you sit down and you're giving all your attention to one family, which they deserve, by the way, because you're trying to get them to believe that you're going to take care of their son. Used to, it just would be the way you treat them, the way you talk to them, the way your depth chart is, where, you know, better than anybody else in the country. Now it's still that way with a number, you know, but it's still that way. So yeah, I miss that part of it. That was a lot of fun. Got fat, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, I guess we ran into you on at Doe's with an official visit.
That's right.
Was that recently? Sure, yeah. So sure this is the breaking bread still happened. Yeah. That's an important Doe's, part of it.
Doe's, man.
Yeah. Dutch right. Beetle Doe's.
Barry Odom tells a story that we went to Doe's when we was interviewing Kendall Browse, and we took him to Doe's. Man, they brought out the biggest damn steaks in the world, you know. Good, too, by the way. And he said it. He's very laughs about it because he said he ordered the same size steak when I wasn't with him and it was with the family. It came out like that big. He said, I swear it was the same order. I said, come on, man. He said, no, Pippen, you were with us and them steaks came out like a whole calf. And he said, I ordered the same steak and it came out like a pebble. So he tells that story. It's funny, but you know, we like to use, you know, the local restaurants as much as we, you know, possibly can. The ones have been here for a while, you know.
Yeah. No doubt.
Go ahead, Coach.
Well, Coach talked about this is, I'm hearing this, don't know.
Yeah.
Is, and the first time I ever saw it was I was at one of your, probably maybe your first spring game. People not, they have your spring games all over ESPN. I know the SEC. There's people talking about not televising theirs because people getting poached. I know you had a receiver one year, but I left there, didn't know who he was, and the guy had three touchdown catches, walked out the next day, get the paper, and he's going to Oklahoma or something, you know. What's the mindset with that about – because it goes on, obviously. You've already talked about it, about your spring game televised. Is that even be thought of or
– well. If you have a spring game, it's going to be on TV.
Yeah.
That's just part of it. Here's how I look at it. Is it beneficial to the players and is it beneficial to the state? Our state is rabid, loves the Hogs and wants to see football. If I took that spring game away from them, now they complain about whether it's ones versus twos. We've been going ones on ones all spring. Chill, man. I mean, come on. I mean, 14 practices, good on good. Yeah. We go ones versus twos in the spring game, and it was like, oh, my God, they're not playing. I mean, we had 14 practices, and they were all open. You could have more than happy been come to it, you know. But just another deal. But here's what I'll say. I'm not going to – two things. I'm never not going to have a true walk-on because of Brandon Burlsworth. We're going to have a guy unpaid. He's going to come on, and he's going to be a walk-on in the 105. That's what's going to happen. We're going to do it out of respect for the Burlsworth family and that trophy, and that's what we're going to do, okay? The second thing, if it benefits the fans and the state like a spring game does, we're going to have one, and we're going to let them see the team. That way we can get them excited about the Razorbacks and spending their hard-earned money to try to come and, you know, support us. Because as we saw, And they've affected many games, but I do think that the crowd affected the Tennessee game.
Oh, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and obviously we wish to play turnover free where we can win some more games. That's one of the things we've really got to work on this year. But if you want people to get excited about it, you got to open the doors to them. And so, to me, we just take our chance to be loyal to the state.
That's exciting, thinking about the spring game coming up and everything moving forward. You got a quarterback who's coming back again.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for continuity. We talked about, you know, you having your coaching staff here, but having him here for another year, what does that mean for the offense?
Bray's a grown man.
Yeah.
He is.
I mean, everybody who talks talks to him, and then everybody who talks about him says the same thing. That he's polite, that he's mature, that he's the nicest, you know, one of the nicest kids they see.
Great and tough.
Great leadership skills. Extremely tough. Tough.
Yeah.
Pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Going to be fantastic this year. And I'm not putting pressure on him. He puts pressure on himself. Another year with Bobby in the offense and the offense around him playing better. I think he's going to have a fantastic year, but that was the key, mm-hmm. you know, let's keep him. He can help us recruit some receivers. He can help us recruit some tight ends. He can help us recruit a left tackle, mm-hmm. whoever it may be. He can help us recruit a free safety. This guy has the leadership skills. I ask him, Bray, because it's different. It's, you know, you didn't really ask a lot of freshmen, hey, shut your mouth. When you come in here and go to work, you didn't really have to say it because most of them were petrified, you know, of the, not of the players, but of the system, of the difference, you know, of the time. These older guys in the portal, you know, I have a meeting with them. I say, hey, look, now, you're on the team. It ain't your team yet. You're on the team. You'll be more, we're excited you're here. It ain't your team. You got to earn your way for respect on the team. So I talked to him and I said, hey, give it a little bit of time. Shh. Earn your respect by what you do, not what you say. Earn the respect that way. So Taylan, he calls me about 10, maybe 2 weeks into, said, Coach, I need to ask you a question. He said, I kind of think it might be time for me to say something. You know, and it wasn't like I'm going to have a team meeting. It was like, hey, man, you got to get your butt going. You know what I mean? He said, what do you think? I said, hell, what do you think? He said, I think it is. I said, go get after it. From that day on, it was his team. I mean, that's just what it was. But he had the respect to call me and say, I've been here about 2 weeks. I think I've earned the kids' respect by the way I've worked and all. He didn't say all that, but I know he thought it. And I said, okay, take it over. And that, you know, at that point he did. But he's got great leadership, just great leadership skills. I mean, we'll have success in whatever he wants to do because he understands very, very good. You know how some guys are abrasive in leadership and then some guys, he's got an ability to do that. But really, he's one of those leaders that you just don't want to let down. So you're just, you know, hauling butt, trying to do the best you can so you don't let him down.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
That type of leader.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit. Non-conference schedule. My God. I mean, and I've lived in the state my whole life and watched football here my whole life. Arkansas State, got to go to Memphis, and then Notre Dame. I mean – talk to us a little about dynamics, Arkansas State game, and Memphis is who's been a power over there. And you know, Coach Silverfield's done a great job. And then, obviously, you got the national champion runner-ups coming into town. Talk to us a little bit about the excitement just about those games.
Well, it's got to be exciting. To be really exciting, you got to win.
Yeah.
You know, you got to win the games. The schedule has potential to be – you can look at it however you want. Yeah. You can look at it as, man, it's a very, very difficult schedule, or you can say, man, there's a lot of opportunity in there. We could do something. we could have a field storming. We could, you know, I'm not promoting it. Hell, I ain't paying the fines or whatever. But let me say this. I'd like to worry about it.
Yeah.
I'd like to worry, man, are these guys getting ready to storm the field? And at that point, I'll go, I don't care. Exactly. Yeah, bring, come on. But the bottom line is, you look at, if you think you got a good team, you look at it as great opportunity. Mm-hmm. Here's a schedule. If we can win this, you know, when we do, we're getting in the playoffs. We've got opportunity here. Arkansas State, good football team. We all saw them in the in their bowl win. Coaches got them going. They got a lot of speed. Good football team. Memphis, I think, great football team. Coach has done a wonderful – I like him. He's every year we go to the Liberty Bowl, he offers up their facilities. The first year I took him up on it. This year I did not, because he said himself that he wasn't going to ask any of his assistants to come up and open the doors on Christmas Day, but he would. And I said, we're not coming. We're not doing that. But I thought that was pretty good. And then, and they're really good, and you got to go there. And then you've got Notre Dame, and sandwiched in between there is go to Ole Miss. And then you have Notre Dame, which will be one of the bigger games that's been for a while.
That might be one of the biggest games in history.
Yeah.
You know.
And so, and then you go, you know, the road schedule is probably more concerning than even the non-conference with, you know, you're traveling to Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, and LSU, you know. And knowing us, they'll put them all at night, you know, where everybody will be juiced up, literally, ready for the game. Of course, we played – what's fair is fair. We played Tennessee at night here, you know. So what's fair is fair. I think everybody at home would like to play at night, and especially in those conference matchups or Notre Dame or whomever it may be. So a lot of challenge there. If I didn't think we have a really good team coming back, I'd probably be a little bit more nervous about it than what I am. I have a lot of belief in our team. And like I say, we've got Taylen Green. He gives us a chance to win any and all of them.
Wow.
We just got back from Hot Springs from the coaches' convention.
Yeah.
I think we had, 1,100 coaches there? 1,200 coaches there. A huge event, really cool opportunity for coaches to learn, to connect, to do all those things that go on at that clinic. And y'all are a huge part of that.
Yeah.
Especially all the coaches doing skills and drills. And, and of course, your keynote speech. Well, what does that clinic mean to the state?
Everything. You know, Bray, I'll be honest with you. I thought about, and not that we could have got it done or anything. We could have had our own. I thought about, well, we need to get these coaches on our campus. You know, let's have one here and all that. And you go down there, and you've got 11 or 12, so 100 people, and you've got the track. You know, you got the casino. And so that is another draw for coaches to come. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, when I got down there with that, I'm going, how can we help the clinic become bigger? Instead of going, well, man, I really like to have it in Fayetteville. Da, da, da. Once you get down there and say it's a success, how can we help the clinic become a bigger success? Because it's going to help us too. And so what we said was we were going to go to every meeting that they had. We were going to go show the high school coaches the respect they deserve. Hell, I was a high school coach for 5 years. I wanted someone to respect me. You know, I did. And we can learn. And so we send half the staff to one speaker, the other to the other. They're speaking at the same time. And then I go in and I talk to whoever I set in first. I tell him that I'm going to, no disrespect, but in 30 minutes, I'm going to walk out and go to the other one. And it seemed to work. I think the coaches appreciate it. I'm not doing that for them to say we appreciate. I'm doing it because they deserve that respect. And so our staff is there, and we do that. And You know, then the guys, this year it was a little different because they had some, you know, a few afternoon speakers that I was fortunate enough to go hear as well. But if I want them to come hear me, I damn sure need to go hear them. And it's just good for relationships and all those things. And then you can still go down and have fun, you know, which I want everybody to do that. And then Saturday afternoon, then, you know, our staff comes back. I always give them a little longer. I give them that Monday and till noon on Tuesday, because at that point, if you look at the season, the bowl game, portal opened January 1. Our game was the 27th. We got home the 29th. Our coaches hadn't had a day off, you know. So I say, okay, wow. I'm going to be Santa Claus and give you a day and a half off. But there's also advantage to me because on Saturday I can go to the track. I can spend the night in my own home. And this year I watched the Super Bowl down in Hot Springs, which, man, wasn't a very good game. Yeah. It depends. Mm-hmm. But there's advantage. You know, every time you give a staff off, you're off too. So there's advantage to it. The clinic is well run. And here's what I appreciate about the clinic. All we want is we want to be the premier item at the clinic. They brought in Ed Ogeron, who freaking was fantastic. You know, they brought the coordinator from Duke, coordinator from Alabama. I believe it was Alabama. Yeah. Wasn't it? And yes. And no, we're the feature. And ideas are ideas, and you need to get them from different people, but we're the feature of the Arkansas Clinic. That's we're Ronnie Roach, correct?
Yes, mm-hmm.
We're the feature. And as long as we'll be the feature because we've respected the clinic like what it should be. But because the people running it, they know they give us that respect as well. But I'm always the keynote, and our coaches always get a time to go do drills, and our coordinators always get time to talk. So we love it. We love it, and we go down. We used to do a little togetherness with it on Thursday night. We'd go, you know, visit with boosters and donors. We just haven't – we tried to, just didn't quite – wasn't able to make it work on Thursday night, and then go down and go to the clinic. But it's always something on our calendar that is special, and it's exciting, and we appreciate the way those folks down there treat us.
Good deal. Well, Coach, before we get you off here, you got to tell a story on this guy over here. And I've heard the story a little bit about, you know, he wasn't playing real well, and you brought him in, I guess, on Monday and told him he wasn't going to start this week. And
that's a great story.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
It's a great story because it's only happened once in my life. I'm 39 years in it. It's happened one time. And Bray wasn't playing bad. In all honesty, we figured out, I think, we had him out of position. Mm-hmm. I mean, a big old burly chested guy, hairy face, good looking guy, yeah. Got the gift of gab. There's sure. A lot of positives about him. But I think because of his status, his size, you're going, man, we're going to put this dude here. He's going to be a mauling guard. Mm-hmm. But you don't, what you're saying to a guy is, I don't think you can handle the edge. That's what you're saying. Because if he can handle the edge, he ain't mauling nobody at guard. He's doing the same thing at tackle. And you're going, I don't think he can do it. I don't know if he's got the feet. I don't know if he's got the length. I don't know, you know, whatever reason it. So instead of going like, let's put him guard to guard, or just, I knew he had heart and I knew he had fight. Let's put another position out there. And it's the greatest story of all time. I believe it was either Sunday or Monday. I always like to talk to the kids one-on-one. If I was going to ever move them, it certainly should not be a surprise. It should be, it may surprise them, but it's not in front of people. It's between them and I. Mm-hmm. At that point, you've made your decision. You got to communicate it. Worst ever. Because you love him. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to call him in and, you know, you don't. But I'll never forget, he said, who is the starting right tackle? And I told him, I said, I'm going to move you to right tackle. You're going to be a two over there. Right tackle, you'll have all the opportunity. And I can't tell you how many times I've told people that. Mm-hmm. You'll have all the opportunity that you want to earn that job. That's what, it's true. One has done it. And he asked me who was the starting right tackle. I'll never forget it. Said, who's the starting right tackle? I told him. And he said, I'll beat him out by the end of the week. I never forget that. And I'll be damned if he didn't. He beat him out. And then, I mean, he was a great right tackle for us for, I don't know, I guess the last 2 years.
2 years, there, yeah. Right?
But I'm not positive it would have helped him keeping him at that position and saying, mm-hmm. okay, go fight it out. I'm not positive it would have helped him move him to the other side and be a guard, give him another opportunity. We hadn't seen if he could really handle the edge. Let's see it. And I'll be damned if he wasn't really, really good at that. And I don't care who lined up over there. Now, he loved the Arkansas across that and all this, and he was one of the greatest guys I've ever coached. But he is the only one that I benched on a Sunday, and he started the next Saturday.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, when you got Travis Swanson, you're obviously the position coach and Mateos. I mean, I had every tool in the world. So, I mean, it kind of made it easy. You just got to go out there and make the decision.
Yeah. All these other people that I've put on the bench, they had the same people. And they didn't start.
That's awesome.
You did. That's one awesome. In 39 years.
Unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to follow up with a little change of direction. It's Valentine's Day, and this won't,
oh, Lord.
This won't publish here for a couple weeks or so. You got any plans? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Where are we going?
Yeah. I am, number one, Christmas. My wife's birthday is January 10th. I'm gifted out a little bit, you know, during this time. So I was doing a clinic, and I'm a little behind. So I rallied around, so I got some flowers, you know, coming. We're going to the reserve. I believe it's called the reserve. It's mm-hmm. right across the track, right across the street from Oaklawn. It's a big white building. And I heard this Valentine's Day 100-course meal, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. is really a neat deal, and I was fortunate enough to be able to get in there. So we're going to go do that tonight. And then not going to track this weekend. I don't know what I'm going to do. Stay down there, and then I've got to fly to New Orleans for the SEC head coaches AD meeting on Sunday. And so, but tonight I'm going to try to get as Lance romance as I can at the reserve and fake it till I make it and see if Jamie will buy it, you know?
There you go. So like a good plan.
Oh, me. Well, Coach, we got – go ahead there, Bray.
One of our sponsors, All-American Steakhouse, wanted to make sure that you got one of these $100 gift cards.
Oh, man.
And you probably don't need it.
Well, wait just a minute. Valentine's
yes, Day.
Crab dip, Coach. Crab dip.
Is it?
Dip.
Okay.
Unbelievable. It's awesome.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Of course.
Well, Coach – we appreciate you coming on, taking time, your busy schedule, and kind of give a recap, and everybody kind of knows what's going on, and NIL, and I love that people ask me questions. I go, I don't know. Go ask those guys. I don't deal with that.
And then
stuff.
They'll say, I don't know.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you coming on, man.
All right. Yep. Enjoyed it, guys. Thanks, Thank you.